Hello there. Can everyone hear me?
This is the last fossil. I can hear you.
Thank you.
Chris?
Hi, Lakota.
Hi, do you want to control the screen?
Yes, if you could please grant me control.
Okay, Sally, we need to share the screen. Okay, Sally, share the screen. Oh, okay.
You can see it now.
If I minimize this, is this still shows on the screen? Okay, I'll just minimize it. Yeah, Chris, can you just move your screen so that we can see whether it changes?
How about now? Do you see anything different?
Yes. We can see your screen.
Okay.
Yeah, you need to maximize it.
Okay. There we go.
How many people are online? Only one? Okay. I thought the chairman is supposed to be here, right?
Seeing as how it's 6 o'clock, I think that there are some folks that are there in person. If we could, perhaps we could start with some brief introductions. Wakoda, I'm not sure if you would like to say a few words.
Okay. Yeah, I will give the introduction, and then Chris will just give the presentation. Good evening, everyone. The people in person here, and then the people online. Welcome to our public meeting one for the call. Corampio Regional Freight Transportation Plan update. With the Georgia Ports Authority expanding and then Honda implant, and then there are a lot of freight development. And we hired the consulting firm Cambridge Systematics together with subconsultants ACOM and Symbiosity to conduct this very important study. And then the study recommendations from this freight plan will feed into our 2050 long-range transportation plan, and then the highest priority projects will fit into the transportation improvement program for implementation. And now I will just give the podium to Chris to give the presentation.
Okay, thank you so much, and good evening to everyone, and thank you all who showed up in person and those who are also with us online. As Wakoda pointed out, my name is Chris Lindsay. I am with Cambridge Systematics. And we are helping the NPO to update their regional freight transportation plan. Our partners in this endeavor include AECOM, who has been really critical to helping out with some of the analysis of rail system movements throughout the region and others, as well as Symbiosity, who has brought a lot of knowledge of with local land use planning, as well as really helping us with stakeholder engagement. So I want to start off with just giving everyone a brief overview of the study and also highlight the reason why we are doing this. So as Wakoda pointed out, Savannah has been a freight hub for generations now. And that status as a freight hub is only increasing and growing over time. And as more goods continue to move throughout the region, it's critical that we take steps to improve safety, to improve mobility, not just for truck and rail, but for people as well. And so really the purpose of today's meeting is to provide an overview of the Regional Freight Transportation Plan, to share with everyone our key findings to date, and with that, to gather some feedback on items that really set the foundation for the recommendations for the Regional Freight Transportation Plan. And as we present the information throughout the meeting today, please keep in mind the study area that we are referring to. We are referring to the three-county region of Bryan, Chatham, and Effingham counties. I know that with some studies and some definitions that perhaps at times that extends into Bullock or perhaps even Liberty, but for purposes of our study, we're focusing in on those three core counties that comprise the region. So again, some background of what is freight and why are we doing this? Essentially, freight includes all goods that come into our homes or our place of business. They include groceries, furniture, appliances, clothing. All of these goods are transported via trucks on the highway, also railroads and cargo ships and other modes. So freight is really essential to our everyday lives and to our business. And that's why it's important to study it. And that's really the reason that the MPO is endeavoring in this freight transportation plan. And as part of the plan, what we're really considering here is key to the plan is to consider how these goods get to and from the places that they are needed in a manner that is safe, that is efficient, that saves money for both shippers and consumers of those goods. So that's why freight is important and why the MPO has taken these steps to update its regional freight transportation plan. So with that in mind, this slide shows some of the key topics that we're going to be talking about for the rest of this presentation, why we're studying freight in the Savannah region, the planning process. This outlines the steps that we are currently undertaking and future steps for completing this study. We're going to share some of our key findings, really focusing in on some issues of congestion and reliability, safety and land use as well. And from there, we're going to go on to how do we move forward? That's essentially identifying from all those key findings, what do we think the region really needs to advance freight mobility in a way that is mutually beneficial to the businesses that rely on it, as well as the people who also have to share in that system. And lastly, we're going to outline some of our next steps. Also on the screen here, you see a website and a code. That website is www.menti.com. If you have your cell phones handy or perhaps a tablet or another device, please go to that website and enter the code that you see on the screen. There are just a couple of areas throughout the presentation where we're going to ask everyone for feedback. And this just provides a way to provide that feedback in a way that's easy to organize and that everyone can see. So I'm going to pause for a second here to give everyone a chance to bring up that website and enter that code on their phones or on their tablets. You should see a screen that looks pretty similar to this presentation once you are able to log on. Okay. If everyone has had a chance to go, I'm going to move on to this next slide, but please raise your hand or speak out if I'm moving too quickly and if you haven't had a chance. Otherwise, I'm going to advance to the next slide. All right. Hear none. We'll move on. So why study freight in the Savannah region? So really the purpose of the plan is to, you know, address those transportation planning, traffic operations, community impacts, and other needs of the region. And once we identify those impacts, it gives us the foundation to develop projects, policies, and other solutions to address those needs. And so really your freight plan comprehensively performs that needs assessment and the inventory of the system and identifying those solutions so that you can have improvements that enhance the region's economic competitiveness from a freight perspective, but also focus on bringing benefits to the community in terms of limiting negative impacts of freight and enhancing those opportunities for workforce development and other benefits that come from having increased economic activity. So really, that's what we're aiming to do with this plan. And when we speak about the multimodal freight system, this slide here really just gives you an idea of what we mean by that. We're referring to maritime assets such as the Port of Savannah and Savannah River, air cargo or aviation assets. Freight moves on air as well. So looking at commercial service airports in the region, notably the Savannah Hilton Head International Airport. The backbone really of the freight system, the highway network, over 8,700 miles of roadways throughout the region. They're critical for moving goods over the road, but also for connecting some of those multimodal assets. So connecting the highways to the ports, connecting highways to air cargo and rail terminals as well. And lastly, the rail network. The region has just under 280 miles of rail throughout the region. Two Class 1 operators. Class 1 rail operators essentially refer to the large railroads, so companies like CSX Transportation and Norfolk Southern. Both of those serve the Savannah region. So when we speak about the freight network, these are all the elements that we are considering and are including in the plan. So the Savannah region really has a unique position when it comes to freight and as it pertains to being a hub of freight movements, really a global gateway. Compared to other large port areas, or other large ports rather, the Savannah region is modestly sized. It's not as large as New York with the Port of New York and New Jersey, or Los Angeles and Long Beach, or even Houston for that matter. So that means that the region has some unique challenges with being able to move goods across that network. But even with those challenges, the port is still the third busiest gateway for global sea trade in the country. And the region has really grown its manufacturing base over the past really decade or so, both with Gulfstream that located in the region years ago, and with Hyundai pretty recently announcing the EV plant, the electric vehicle plant that is coming to the region. So all of these are really great opportunities, but they also create some challenges for freight. And so those are some of the things that we want to dig into with this freight study. And as I hinted at earlier, freight is really essential to the region's economy. Over half of workers in the region are employed in some type of industry that generates freight, meaning that they generate some movement of a truck or a rail car or air cargo movement into or out of the region. And so, you know, as part of this analysis, we're also looking at industries that are really intensive users of the freight system, meaning that freight is essential to their business. Without being able to access the rail and highway system, they really cease to exist. And these are including industries such as construction, manufacturing, logistics, and other related industries. And once you start to look at the data, you can see that these freight intensive industries have really increased their share of economic contribution to the region over the past decade, adding over 12,000 jobs, accounting for a greater share of employment, also a greater share of economic output. And so we really say all this to make the point that when you plan for freight and we identify solutions that help the region to enhance its freight mobility, that translates to improve economic conditions as well. Also, how we discussed a little bit earlier in the presentation of why it's important to do this freight study is that freight is has been growing in the region historically. And when you look at projections, that's only expected to continue. So this slide here is showing projections over the next 30 years using information from the S&P Global Database Trend Search, which looks at commodity flows, which are essentially goods that are moving over the highways, over the railroads. And essentially what it's revealing to us is that over the next 30 years, the region is expected to double the amount of freight that moves into, out of, within, and through the region. So, you know, that's a substantial increase. And because of that, Planning for that growth is going to be essential to maintaining the region's quality of life and economic competitiveness. So that gives you a little bit of background on why we are doing what we're doing here. So this section of the presentation, I want to share with you essentially the steps that we're taking, what that planning process looks like. Oh, that's an error. Excuse me here. This is the correct slide. So essentially, some of the key tasks of the freight plan update, project management coordination, which includes stakeholder outreach. I'm sure that some of the folks that are on the call or in person now, we've reached out to you for interviews or to participate in surveys. At the end of the presentation, we'll share a link for others to hopefully continue to participate in that as well. Looking at needs, land use, economic development, impacts to the environment and community. And then once we kind of complete all of those technical tasks, getting into recommendations both for land use, how the region orients itself over the long term, where warehouses or manufacturing facilities are allowed to develop. Those are the types of things that we're looking at with land use. And broader recommendations as well for the network. So looking at opportunities to perhaps enhance capacity or improve signal timing or other operational issues. And all of this information will be wrapped up into a final report that will, of course, be shared on the MPO's website and the other venues. So early in the process, one of the things we wanted to establish is what the vision looks like for the region as far as freight, and also what are the regional freight transportation goals. And with the vision, it essentially landed at us wanting to promote sustainable economic growth by ensuring quality access and connectivity, safe and efficient mobility, both for people and goods on the shared network. And from that vision, we derive a set of goals, six different goals, chief among them perhaps being safety and security, followed by state of good repair, that's maintaining freight assets, pavements, bridges in a good condition, accessibility, mobility, and connectivity. That's really improving connectivity between modes, reducing those barriers to goods moving on the region's road and rail network. System performance, really focusing in on challenges related to congestion and the reliability of travel times. Coordination across the region, three counties, several municipalities. Planning across those can be a challenge, but freight doesn't recognize jurisdictional boundaries. And because of that, having that coordination is going to be essential for really implementing solutions. And lastly, environment and quality of life. Looking at those impacts to the community, to the natural environment, and making sure that we're identifying ways to limit those negative impacts and enhance positive impacts such as workforce development. So some of our key findings from those technical tasks that we've completed to this point, really focusing in on five that we decided to highlight for purposes of this presentation: safety, congestion and reliability, at-grade crossings, equity and environment, and land use and freight-related development. Regarding safety, one data item, if you will, that we looked at with this study are crashes involving trucks throughout the region. And what we found are that there are multiple corridors throughout the region with that experience relatively high proportions of truck crashes when you compare them to other corridors in the region. In general, there were over 3,700 truck-involved crashes over a five-year period, 2016 to 2020, which represents about 6.5% of all crashes. And just over 2% of those crashes resulted in a fatality or serious injury. And so this really kind of highlights to us that safety involving freight movements is going to be one of those key items that we have to develop some solutions around and make some recommendations. Regarding congestion and reliability, this is an important performance area, if you will, to look at, because Poor travel times, unreliable travel times result in higher costs to businesses that depend on that freight transportation service. And oftentimes, those costs are passed on to consumers and others. In addition, it creates negative impacts for other users of those facilities. Looking at the region's congestion challenges was really an important component of the study. And what we found were that some of those key freight corridors like I-16, I-95, as well as some non-interstate corridors like State Route 21 that has a high proportion of truck traffic as well as commuter traffic, that those are going to be some of the pinch points in the region. Already there are multiple efforts that the MPO has been engaged in as well as GDOT at the state to improve conditions on these corridors. As part of our recommendations, we want to look to those and see where there might be opportunities for value add or perhaps different areas of the network where perhaps there haven't been any solutions proposed to make sure that we identify those and make them a part of our study. At Great Rail Crossings was another key finding area, something that we heard a lot about as part of stakeholder outreach. There are several, almost 200 public at-grade crossings throughout the region. Some of those crossings are used for switching movements, that's getting trains into and out of businesses or yards or rail terminals, if you will, that can, you know, cause significant delays on key corridors. President Street was the location that came up multiple times. And so one of the key findings was, you know, looking at these crossings and documenting their impacts on the region and seeing opportunities to reduce the associated delays, emissions, and other safety challenges that relate that that stem from having this prevalence of crossings throughout the region. The other key finding area, equity and environment. One thing we wanted to understand is how freight is impacted and how freight impacts the community. And so with this slide here, one thing that we looked at were so-called environmental justice areas and historically disadvantaged areas. These are generally areas that are identified at the federal level as well as a part of regional planning efforts to identify communities that have historically been overburdened by the transportation system. And by overburden, some examples of that are communities that experience more intense levels of truck-related congestion, poor travel time reliability, or that simply have to accommodate greater levels of freight activity than other communities. Perhaps a rail terminal or some other freight asset is located in that area. An example you see on the slide here is that about 90% of the regions at Great Crossings are located in one of these communities. So that was one of the key findings and key areas that we are examining as part of this, is understanding what are those community impacts. From the environmental perspective, wetlands are prevalent throughout the region given its coastal location. These are essentially areas where water is near or at the surface for most of the year, varying periods throughout the year. And, you know, they are a vital, important part of the region of the ecosystem. They provide erosion control, flood control, as well as habitat for wildlife. And as part of the land use analysis, one thing that we documented and is also examining past land use planning efforts that the region has been engaged in is that a lot of these areas have been subject to development, both for freight and non-freight purposes. So understanding how freight might develop over the long term and some solutions that we can propose for preserving wetlands is one of those kind of key recommendation areas. The last category, land use and freight-related development, which kind of relates to that last slide. I think that everyone has very much seen over the past years that the development of warehouse space throughout the region has really accelerated. From July 2018 to 2022, inventory increased from about 57 million square feet to 94 million square feet. the graph at the top right of your screen, you can see how it's really accelerated over these past few years. And the one on the bottom showing the amount of space that's under construction. And what we found is that not only have these facilities, do you have more of them, but essentially they become larger as well. So with that, you have kind of increased impacts on land use and associated traffic patterns. And so that was one of our key finding areas, and just really noting that a lot of this development has been driven by the region's economic success, its population growth, its employment growth, and the freight volumes that have been growing and are projected to grow for the region. And with that development, you can see that you have these emerging freight activity centers. Historically, a lot of the region's freight-related development has been in and around the Port of Savannah. But one of our key findings was that you have kind of these emerging freight activity centers, notably to the north of downtown in Effingham County, along that State Route 21 corridor, also the Old Augusta Road corridor, to the west of the region along I-16 approaching Bullitt County. That's the area where the Hyundai plant will be developed. And also to the region south of the Rockingham Farms Industrial Development, as well as Belfast Commerce Park, of more so in the Bryan County area. So is you can see that the development has really spread out from its historic core, and that's going to be important to consider as we move into recommendations. Okay. Before moving on to how to move forward, I want to pause for a second here just in case there are any thoughts or questions based on what you've seen so far. Anyone want to chime in with anything?
If anybody has questions, please come to the podium because we're recording. And
evening, my name is David Elliott. I work for People's Industries. We own and operate a marine terminal over on President Street, so thank you very much for taking a look at that rail crossing. That should hopefully help us quite a bit. My question is, what, if anything, is being done to alleviate the east-west pressure within Savannah for industrial vehicles? One thing that local businesses have proposed is potentially a overpass or a through road over Duran in between 516 and Truman. I was wondering if that's been considered.
Oh, thank you for your question. So the current project on Duran Avenue is that I believe the city and GDOT is undertaking is one of the ones that we're kind of documenting to make sure that we have that and can essentially, how you alluded to, is see what else might be able to be added to it or other recommendations. As part of our outreach and looking at some of that travel time data, east-west connectivity has been an issue that has really emerged. So at this point, we have not developed specific recommendations that we could share at this point, but that is something that we definitely plan on having a recommendation around east-west connectivity for that core, for the area, essentially east of downtown to I-16, I-516. But also, we've heard a lot of feedback and seen a lot of data to support needed east-west connectivity along the northern part of the region, really connecting parts of Effingham County to I-15 as well. So that's as part of our next step when we have the next meeting to put forth some recommendations. That's one of them that we have hoped to have at the top of the list and that we're certainly aware of.
Thank you, Thea. I understand the northern part of the county is very important, but as far as the west and the west to east connection, right now we have a lot of trucks that come down Bay Street, essentially, not necessarily ours, but there's a lot of congestion on Bay Street trying to get down to provide services to the President Street area. That seems like something that hasn't really been addressed long term.
Right, and I'm aware that trucks on Bay Street has been a challenge for the region for decades now. But hopefully as part of this, we can put forth some recommendations that are feasible to move forward. But certainly east-west connectivity to get to the President Street corridor, the east of downtown. That's really kind of one of those historic freight cores of the region. That's something that we do want to put forth recommendations for and will.
Chris, we also have a couple people online. We've got a question in the chat. Before that, I want to go to Ms. McNeil, who had her hand raised for a while. Ms. McNeil, would you like to ask your question? You may need to unmute your microphone. We'll give you just a second. And if you're having a tough time with your audio, you can also type your question in the chat. So in the meantime, we're going to go to a question from Dr. Pat Harris. She asks, what about the dangers these trucks pose on the lives of others with the increase in their capacity? Are you concerned about their lack of safety on the roads and the fatalities that have happened as a result of their disregard for others?
So safety is one of those key areas that we are including in our study and definitely plan on making recommendations around. As part of that kind of equity and community impacts analysis, we did identify some areas of the region that have higher rates of truck involved crashes than other parts of the region. So those will be some areas that we will focus in on to have more specific recommendations about what can be done to improve safety. For some of the corridors that are not on the interstate highway, I think that certainly some recommendations of surrounding access management, kind of better controlling driveways is part of that of discussion on safety that needs to happen. Having infrastructure for pedestrians and other roadway users to be separated for truck traffic will be important parts of it as well. But to answer your question, safety is one of our core goal areas. And as you'll see later in the presentation, one of the areas that we're recommending to be a key priority area when it comes time to like rank certain projects over others. I hope that answers your question, but if not, please let me know.
Thanks, Chris. And Ms. McNeil is good. She does not have a question at the moment. So I think we can move forward. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so those are great questions. I think that they offer a perfect segue into this part of the presentation. So from all of that analysis that we were looking at when it comes to like truck involved crashes, travel time, looking at portions that congestion reliability, identifying communities that have disproportionate impacts, negative impacts that is from freight activity, these were some of the kind of key need areas that we identified. So looking at congestion reliability, we have multiple routes with relatively high levels of congestion, the prevalence of at-grade crossings throughout the region. Looking at freight network connectivity, I think that gets back to the comment with, not really having good routes to go east-west across certain parts of the region that has really more so developed kind of a north-south orientation stemming from the river. So looking at opportunities to improve that connectivity, whether that be new routes, upgrading existing routes, looking at opportunities to manage traffic in and around grade crossings to limit some of those connectivity problems. Also looking at safety, multiple corridors with crash rates that exceed the regional average. There are some at-grade crossings that have had multiple crashes as well. So that's kind of another key need area. Also looking at infrastructure conditions, just simply pavements that are in poor conditions or bridges that have vertical clearance issues. When a bridge has a low vertical clearance, sometimes that might force a truck to take a route that sends them through a different area because they can't clear it. Or send them on a route that goes through perhaps an area where we would rather not have trucks. We're looking at opportunities to improve that. Truck parking, we didn't discuss a lot of this in key findings, but one issue that the region has been and is facing are trucks that need safe places to park overnight as they serve the different various freight assets that are in the region, making sure that they have adequate space such that they don't have to pull over on the roadway shoulder or exit ramp or someplace that is less safe than a designated parking facility or in a residential area or some other area that they're not supposed to be. And the last area that we identified as a key need area relates to resiliency. We didn't include a lot of information about this in our key findings, but one thing that we did were made aware of from stakeholder outreach, but also from just looking at different kind of environmental data, is that there are several other regions' assets are at risk to flooding, to coastal flooding in the event of hurricanes or other natural disasters, and making sure that the system is resilient and can bounce back quickly from these types of disruptions are going to be some of the important need areas going forward. Okay, and so this gets to our interactive part of the presentation. If you could, this website again, menti.com, log on to that, enter the code 3115-6798 that you see at the top of your screen. If you could, you know, give us some feedback. Are there any types of needs or opportunities that we missed? And for those of you that don't have a smartphone or other tablet or just don't want to use it, feel free to type in the chat or come to the podium and you know, give us your feedback that way as well. Okay, I see a few coming in. New connectivity to interstate and port entrances. Air quality. Electric vehicle charging. That's an interesting one. I know that the state has been some current efforts with looking at electric vehicle charging. That's not something specifically we looked at as part of this study, but certainly truck parking is a component and that can relate to it. I'm seeing derailment, workforce labor issues, land use impacts. So regarding rail derailments, as part of our safety analysis, I'm pretty certain that we did document cases of derailments that were within the region. I cannot remember off the top of my head what that number was, but I don't think that it was necessarily a large number, but that is something that we have included in that safety analysis. And for anyone who's entered comments in the Menti app, does anyone perhaps want to come off mute and ask any more specific questions about some of these or make any comments about any comment that has been posted in the Menti app?
Yeah, good afternoon. This is Les Fussell. I have a question. You know, in your study and in your recommendations, are you considering dedicated truck routes such as, you know, that are limited to certain vehicles? Is that a consideration in your recommendations?
Well, we haven't developed that we're still kind of in draft form. We're getting to a set of recommendations, so nothing is final yet. But certainly, I know that there has been initiatives at the state level for dedicated truck lanes on that I-75 corridor. And I want to say that there have been looking at that for other parts of the state as well. So as we kind of move into recommendations, that's certainly something that we're going to consider in instances where we think that it makes sense or having dedicated infrastructure for trucks. You know, we would certainly recommend that.
Chris, we also had another comment in the chat from Jane Curry asking about the reality of finite space, especially in the face of growth. So I think that probably gets to the land use question and that there's only so much land available.
Right, and let me pull that up so I can make sure that I...
Other questions depending on...
Okay, but as far as finite space as it pertains to land use, so one thing that we noticed in our analysis of land use is that I would say some need for coordination across the three county area, particularly as it pertains to freight, with how land is developed to preserve land use for some of those environmentally sensitive areas like wetlands, but also to sort of, I would say, kind of maximize the use of space. Because you're absolutely right, though. You look at the three kind of region and it's fairly large. The amount of developable land without hitting a wetland or some other environmentally sensitive area is much smaller. So though we have not developed final recommendations yet, one thing that we are looking into, and AECOM, one of our partners that's been kind of spearheading this, are looking at opportunities for what would be called like a freight efficient land use plan that would tackle some of those issues of how do you preserve and maximize existing space such that you essentially or don't run out of space or you make the best use of your land use such that you don't have kind of sprawling types of development. So that's one of those things that we are considering and that will more than likely be a recommendation that comes out of the study. But that really does require a lot of coordination with the counties and the cities because essentially, land use is controlled at that level with those particular counties, with those particular cities. So having a plan in place and having some collaboration and coordination for actually implementing it is what's going to be essential. These are great comments and questions. Thank you all. I appreciate it. Else who put something on the screen here or perhaps didn't want to discuss something a little bit more in depth?
I don't think we have any more comments here in the room and we don't have anything in the chat.
Okay. All right. Thank you all. I will move on to the next one. So with those needs, and I think that this gets to some of the questions that we're having here, are, you know, what are the recommendations going to be? At this phase of the project, like we are still in that phase of developing recommendations. And one of the outcomes that we really want to get out of this meeting is to get everyone's feedback to make sure that we are making recommendations that consider not just the data aspect of it, but also people's lived experience, folks who use that system every day to conduct their business or to get back and forth, making sure that we get your opinion so that the recommendations that come out of this study are things that can actually be implemented, because that is the ultimate goal, having a plan that is implementable, not something that simply sits on the shelf. So with that, some of the potential strategies we are looking at, I would say you could divide them up into three different buckets. One would be the infrastructure bucket. That's looking at opportunities where a capacity increase might be warranted or were a new connection to serve an emerging freight center or even a historical freight center that's never had great connection. Looking at opportunities for simple maintenance and rehabilitation as well. The next bucket I would say is more technology and operations. So these are essentially strategies that would require less capital investment, would require less actually pouring pavement or concrete and making new connections on the system, but rather operating that system in a manner that's more efficient. So examples would be looking at signal retiming on corridors, looking at opportunities to have better access management, maybe consolidating driveways, have an interparcel access so you don't have as many access points on a particular roadway, which can degrade its level of service and also create different safety challenges, and also incident management when you do have an accident or incident rather on the system, clearing it in a manner that's quick so that the disruption is limited. And the last bucket would be policies and programs. Some of the needs don't lend themselves necessarily to a capital investment or even an operational investment. Some of the region's needs, like those that pertain to land use, will really have to be impacted by how counties and municipalities make certain decisions. So examples could be requiring certain investments in order to get a permit to do a warehouse, or making sure that there's on-site space for truck parking such that trucks don't park in places that they aren't supposed to be. And also on the equity and environmental impact side, one thing that we looked at was kind of the negative impact that freights can have on communities. But there are also positive impacts as well in the form of economic development and access to jobs. So an example of a different policy or program type of solution would be looking at opportunities for workforce development or improved transit as access to different job centers. Those are just kind of examples of what we mean by these three different buckets. Some more detailed examples of infrastructure, the issues and opportunities being poor pavement conditions, vertical clearances at grade crossings, and the solutions would be, raised bridges, new connections, increased capacity, coordinating with railroads to improve crossings. Those are the types of infrastructures strategies that we're considering. For technology operations, the issues being that you have corridors that have relatively high levels of crashes, truck involved crashes, or that have congestion and reliability challenges. The potential solutions would be expanding the intelligent transportation system. So that's sort of the network of dynamic message signs and other technology tools that you use to manage traffic, expanding that across the system, looking at access management, looking at opportunities to close or separate crossings. Those are examples. And then the last bucket of policies and programs. And, as I stated earlier, examples of that being, opportunities to better share information and collaborate across the three county region, looking at opportunities for workforce development, such that some of those communities that are disproportionately negatively impacted by freight have opportunities to share in those economic benefits, and just other land use types of strategies. Those are really the three buckets. So the last interactive part of our presentation today, just kind of given the needs that we've discussed today, as well as what you've seen on your own on the system, and kind of given those three different buckets of strategies you're considering, infrastructure, technology, operations, policies and programs, I'm curious to know, where do you think we should be focusing our efforts? What types of strategies do you think will have a lower impact versus a higher impact on actually improving the system and improving the quality of life? Okay, it looks like we're pretty even here, which is a surprise. Oh, I guess a couple more still coming in. All right, it looks like the consensus is infrastructure is going to have the largest impact. So looking at opportunities for either capacity expansions, new roadways, and just generally maintaining the system that we have. And it looks like technology operations, policies, and programs are pretty evenly split. So this is good feedback. I guess more coming in. I'll pause for a second. Anyone who voted on either of these care to share kind of their thinking or any feedback that you would like to provide the group? Okay. I think that everyone has voted at this point. If not, raise your hand, let me know. But otherwise, I will keep the presentation moving. Okay. So moving into the part that I think is people are most concerned with and care about, essentially, how do we propose to identify these recommendations as well as to evaluate and prioritize them. So earlier in the presentation, we shared with you all that slide that showed the vision for the region as it pertains to freight, as well as a set of goal areas that the region wants to use as its benchmark for how it improves the system. So we took that information and we came up with a draft list of prioritization elements. So these are essentially the performance areas that we will take a project and use it to say, all right, well, if it contributes to this element or that element, it should be ranked higher or lower than another project. And so we divide that up across seven different areas, the first one being safety and security. Projects or recommendations that reduce the likelihood of crashes, that improves access to truck parking are the two performance areas for that goal. Accessibility, mobility, and connectivity. Projects or recommendations that address current or anticipated congestion, that improves performance through technology and operations or connectivity between modes. State of good repair. That's simply improving the condition of the region's freight assets, making sure that bridges are in good condition, that pavements are in good condition. The system performance area, which focuses in on reliability and resiliency. And so by reliability, what we're really referring to is the consistency of travel on a corridor, making sure that one day a travel time isn't 30 minutes and the next day it's an hour. That type of inconsistency is generally bad for freight and the people that depend on the freight network, and it makes it more costly. So bringing down those costs are one of the things that we want to consider as part of our evaluation framework, which also makes life better for other folks that have to use that roadway network. Environment and quality of life. Kind of going back to the part of the presentation where we identified some of those communities that tend to be overburdened by transportation and by freight transportation specifically. So finding recommendations of projects that perhaps reduces the crash rate in a community that experiences a disproportionately high number of crashes, or a solution that might reduce vehicle emissions in a community that that experiences a high level of freight activity. Those are the types of performance areas that we're looking at with that one. Coordination across the region, projects that have support from multiple implementing partners as opposed to a single one, potential for cross-sharing across jurisdictions as well as with the private sector. The private sector could be an operator like the railroads. It could be a developer of warehouses, distribution centers, those types of opportunities to have coordination. And then the last area being project readiness, a project that can proceed relatively quickly due to limited constraints, environmental funding or others. That's one of these areas. As part of the great plan, we are going to divide the projects up into more short-term and long-range improvements, but we did want to have some ability to identify those projects that can move quicker and provide relief faster than others. So with those elements, this is what we're proposing in this table here. This is essentially how we would score recommendations. So you're showing here for different categories for safety and security, total available points 25, reflecting the importance of safety on the system to both users as well as communities. Accessibility, mobility, and connectivity. This is really getting at measures that address congestion relief. 20 available points, state of good repair, projects that improve bridge conditions or pavement conditions, system performance, getting into reliability, the truck travel time reliability index that we're showing on this slide here is essentially that measure of the consistency of travel times. Environment and quality of life, looking at crashes or highway rail incidents in communities that are disproportionately impacted. Intergovernmental coordination, 5 points. Project readiness, 5 points. All of these sum to 100. So this is what we're proposing as a method to evaluate those different recommendations that come out of the study and prioritize them. And I'll pause for a second here to give people time to digest it. And also to ask some questions if you have them.
I don't think we have any questions in the room, and we don't see anything in the chat. Thanks, Chris.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So next steps. The first thing that I would like to, as a next step that we want to encourage everyone to do is to just to learn more and stay involved. There is a website that is dedicated to this project on the MPO's website. It's listed on your screen above. There's also on that website some surveys that speak to freight-related challenges in the region. One of the surveys that I think is particularly useful is an online mapping tool. You can go in, you can drop pins on the map to point out to us areas where there are challenges, perhaps an intersection that you feel is less safe or a corridor that experiences high levels of congestion or maybe some opportunity to address at grade crossing. You can go on those surveys. You can drop that information. You can let us know, and that information will feed directly into the recommendations that we're in the process of developing. So I would encourage everyone to go to the website and also on the website, posted our draft versions of all the technical documents that have been developed so far. Due to time, I had to go through some of those pretty quickly as part of the presentation, but you're free to go to the website and download those documents and look through them at your convenience and send us any feedback, any questions that you have on what you see. And so, at this phase of the project, we've done a lot of that technical analysis with identifying where those challenges are in the system, and we have a good idea of what needs are. So the next phase that we are currently in and that we're doing now are developing those recommendations, which is what you see here. So what our plan is to take these next few months, come up with a tighter list of those draft recommendations, and then come back to the group and share those and to say, based off of what we heard back from you all, based on what we've seen from the data, this is what we're proposing to do. And you'll get a chance then also to comment on those recommendations and let us know if you think that we got it right, if we missed anything, omitted anything. And that way we get that feedback in place before we actually finalize them. And so the next meeting where we'll be doing that will be in June. There will be information posted on the NPO website for that meeting as well. And my last slide is just contact information. I'm Chris Lindsay. I'm the consultant project manager for the Region of Freight Transportation Plan update. My email is on the screen. This presentation, I believe, is already posted to the website, or it will be shortly. If not, feel free to reach out to me if anything comes up or you have any additional questions. But in Wakota, the ultimate project manager for the study with the NPO, her information is on the screen as well. So that is all the information I have for the group today. I'll stop here for a chance for questions. Wakota, perhaps, I don't know if you have any final comments, any call for questions or anything you would like to address.
This presentation is already posted to the Freight Plan website, and all the technical memos are there. So if you want to demonstrate how to use the map survey on your site, so that people can see how they can provide the comments. I know President Street at Great Crossing is a problem area. So if you can just demonstrate.
Sure, let me navigate to the website. So if you go to the website, there's a link for that community survey. And it gives a brief kind of directions on what we're looking at with it. But essentially, you have a map here, and you can navigate around. And it gives you an opportunity to zoom in. And you can, based on a location, you can identify what you think is the issue there and leave that information on the map. So you just click what the issue is, and you can click on the map where you see that challenge at. And you can provide some additional information on more details on that challenge, so more details in these predetermined categories that we have here in the text box here. And you can also share any recommendations on potential improvements. If you have other information to share, like a photograph, you can upload that as well. And you simply press submit, and that information comes straight to us. And again, that's the type of information that will go directly into the recommendations for the study.
Thanks, Chris. Do we have any questions on the chat? Do we have any questions here? Okay. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks a lot.